spoken word. Questions?
Blunt.
Hello, this is Blunt Youth Radio at WMPG, Gorham, Portland, 90.9. I'm Beulah, and I'm with my co-host, Eva.
Today was our last day of school, so for tonight's show, we will be walking you through the Maine school system, flaws and all, with the perspectives of students, young and old, teachers, and members of administration.
To begin the show, we'll hear from students at the playground of a Portland elementary school and what they dislike about school.
Here with Chloe Cady. Chloe Cady is a student liaison for her local school board, where she can voice the opinions of her student body. Can you explain what your role is on the school board?
Yeah, so basically, we meet every other Thursday, and I attend those meetings, and then I also have a role on the student senate at my school to sort of link the school board and the student activities.
And so is the student senate... How is the student senate different from the school board? Is it with students at your school, or is it with more administration?
It's with students, and there's two teacher advisors, but student senate is like a group of students in the school board. It's just there's two student liaisons and then all adults.
Mm-hmm. And so what kind of work have you been doing on student senate recently?
Recently on student senate, we do a lot with trying to improve the school culture. We've been working on the tardy policy and like the computer policies with trying to reduce gaming,
mm-hmm.
which is definitely different from the school board, which is a lot of budgeting and legitimate policies regarding student behavior at the school.
Mm-hmm. And so it is my understanding that the student liaison's votes on the school board don't actually count for final votes. Is that true?
Yes.
And is it weird seeing your vote not count? And does it make you feel like your voice is listened to still?
I mean, it's definitely... Yeah, a little bit odd voting every single time, knowing that our votes aren't actually, like they're recorded, but they don't actually have much of a say in the matter. But I still feel like when I voice my opinion, the members of the school committee really are truly listening, because, like, it's nice to have a student perspective, and, like, they really take that in and, like, consider it when they're voting on an issue.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Why did you decide to run for school board?
I've been super involved since like freshman year in class council, student senate, and just kind of student government activities. And I just knew that like when the opportunity came up to run for the school board, the student liaison on the school board, I just knew I wanted to be involved and like make my impact on my community and just be able to like get my voice out there and speak for all the students at my school.
Awesome. So you attend all the school board meetings. When you're at the meetings, do you ever get to answer questions from the audience, or is it mostly the adults on the school board?
I've never experienced a situation where I've answered questions from the audience. Normally, they do a segment for public comment where people from the audience will come up and either give like a large statement on why they feel a certain policy should be voted on one way or the other, and occasionally school board members will answer, but sometimes they ask questions and the school board members will answer, but never directed at me, no.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so how has it been balancing your schedule with being involved in student senate and the school board and being a student?
Yeah. It's definitely a lot. Like, it's a big commitment. It's often 1 hour minimum to sometimes 3.5 hour mm-hmm. meetings. And it's every other Thursday, so definitely having like coaches who care about my mental health and know that sometimes I might need to leave a practice early has been helpful to get homework done, like, early in the night, because I know that I'm going to be busy later on. And just, I'm, like, a big advocate of, like, doing your homework, like, the day you get it, mm-hmm. and, like, trying to, like, just get that weight off your shoulders so that, you know, like, you're not, like, stressed out, like, the night before something's due. And that's definitely been super helpful for me just while trying to be involved, like, academically. Definitely. So, yeah, that's my mentality.
How do you get educated on a topic before a meeting?
So someone sends out the agenda, and it'll have, like, a description of policies that we're voting on or kind of what's on the docket for that day. And often it's not something you need to come to the meeting with, like, a large prior knowledge of. And if it is and, like, not easily Googleable, then I'll ask the school committee members, because they're super approachable with stuff like that. But occasionally I do ask, like, I'll Google something before I vote on, or sorry, before I go to a meeting to vote on a policy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In your opinion, what's something that needs to be fixed about your school?
I think my school just definitely cultivates, like, a really competitive climate, and it's just kind of difficult to have students all striving to be the best in one high school and all applying to Ivy League colleges and all getting A pluses and trying to kind of stand out and, like, be your own person in the midst of all that, and also, you know, not let the pressure get to you and affect your mental health. So that would definitely be something that I wish could be
changed. How do you handle problems like that?
I mean, definitely having, like, good support systems of, like, the teachers are really caring at my school, even though they do, you know, help cultivate that competitive climate. But also, like, my friends are super caring, and always, like, cooling off and hanging out with them is helpful, and just taking time to myself and, you know, making sure I get everything done on time. And I don't know, I definitely am someone who kind of caves into that, like, trying to be the best, like, mindset. So it's helpful to be reminded of, like, you don't need to be, you know, working your butt off 24/7. Like, you're allowed to have rest, you're allowed to be a human.
Exactly. What's a problem that you've dealt with while you're on the school board, and how did you handle it?
One problem that we had this past year was we had a policy that was regarding an opt-out of curriculum, like, if parents didn't want their students to be learning about a specific, like, book that you're reading in English class or something. Okay. And it turned into, like, a ton of members from the community coming and sitting in, just because a lot of them felt that it was a slippery slope into, like, book banning and potentially more things that they didn't agree with. And the policy didn't end up getting passed just because of legal issues. But it was definitely kind of stressful, like, going to meetings and having, like, the chairs absolutely full of members of the community and not really knowing how to use my, you know, student voice on, like, hey, I agree with this, or hey, I disagree with this policy and here's why, and kind of getting that out there. So I definitely felt a lot of, like, kind of anxiety over just, like, going to meetings where everyone was watching. And but I dealt with it by just knowing, like, your voice matters, this is why you ran, and, like, you're gonna speak out and give your opinion, and
giving yourself those reminders.
Is the board ever divided on issues?
This past year, most issues have been pretty, like, standard, such as, like, administering medicine in, like, schools. That's, like, hard to be divided on, but I think in previous years they definitely have been divided, but not that I've experienced. No.
And so this is your first year?
Yeah, this is my first year.
And so your term is for 2 years, correct?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. How have you, kind of already talked about this a little, but how have you felt supported by your teachers and, like, adults in your community as a student?
I feel like a lot of teachers just truly show that they care about you, because whether it's, like, asking for an extension on homework or a test, or just saying that you're overwhelmed, I feel like a lot of teachers are very willing to be like, oh, like, why is that? Or, like, oh, let's have a chat. Or I remember, like, last week, like, I think I was walking through the halls and kind of had, like, a glazed eyes expression and just looked tired. And one of my teachers pulled me aside and was like, you don't seem yourself. Like, are you okay? And I think kind of just, like, opening themselves up for discussions like that is really beneficial, just to knowing that you have people that care about you, whether it's at home, at school, and having those, like, mentors in your life.
Definitely.
Do you feel like your peers know what's going on with the school board?
We've brought the matter of the school board into, like, school-wide assemblies a few times this past year, kind of first saying, like, this is the position and this is what we do on the school board. And then again, it's been brought up when students had to run for the new position because one of the seniors, the senior is leaving, so there's a new rising junior coming into the school board as the student liaison. But I was just going to say, I don't feel that they necessarily know constantly, like, the issues that the school board is talking about, and I know it's definitely, like, a shock to me when I became a student liaison and started continuously attending the meetings. Like, I was like, they deal with so much behind the scenes that I would never know as an everyday student.
And so, follow-up question. In your opinion, does the student body, like, care about what's going on with the school board and, like, also student senate, or do you think that they're just uneducated because there aren't, like, enough resources to find out about it?
I think it kind of varies student to student, because definitely I know, like, that's a good question, because one of Student Senate's initiatives this past year has been to get a lot more information out about it and, like, make it more accessible for students to sit in on it. And the school board is also always available to, like, go and sit in on. And I feel like most students are aware of it and, like, should be, because we've been trying to talk about that in assemblies and, like, get them aware of these resources that if they want to know what's going on behind the scenes, they can. But I feel like some students probably aren't super interested in attending those, just because it's a lot of effort and time. But I think it would be great if they did show that interest.
As a student at the very school you're talking about, I feel like this year I've noticed especially, like, there's been more communication about what's going on, and I really appreciate that, because I'm not someone who's, like, involved with the school board or the student senate, but just having those updates is really nice, because it kind of, like, lets me know, like, if I did want to check in on it, I could.
Well, I'm glad you've noticed that. Yes. Yeah.
Do students ever attend the meetings?
Definitely.
School board meetings.
The school board meetings, yeah. Well, there are sometimes when students win state championships, and then it's like they're all recognized, so that's kind of like a mandatory attendance for a lot of students, where I definitely see familiar faces. But also, like, when there was the one controversial policy I was talking about earlier, and there are definitely some students there because they heard through the community, through their parents, and wanted to go and get themselves involved. And a few students even spoke, which was amazing. But it's not often, I would say, that students attend now.
Mm-hmm. Has serving on the student senate changed your perspective as a student?
Definitely. Just knowing, like, everything that students are putting into the school behind the scenes to, you know, improve the school culture and, like, fix these, whatever, tardy policies or computer policies, just trying to make, like, student life better for everyone. I just think it has made me really, like, appreciate everything that goes into our school, because I feel like it's easy as a student to complain about what you don't love about your school, but it definitely made me a lot more appreciative.
And also, the school board, has that changed your perspective at all?
Yeah, even more so. Like, I remember being worried when I was going into it that I might, like, occasionally get bored at the meetings, but I really loved every second of it, because I'm just continuously so, like, impressed by what everyone is putting into this to, like, make sure that everyone's needs are met and everyone's needs are met. And just trying to make the school, like, the best it can possibly be.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you do any work over the summer, or does it just end with the school year?
We have a meeting tomorrow, actually, and that's the last meeting that I'm required to go to, and then they continue to meet, but it's optional for me, so.
That's nice. Do you think you'll continue to go?
I might pop into one or two, but probably also take some rest.
Yeah, much needed. Well, thank you so much for talking with us. It was so great to hear a student perspective, especially one who speaks so eloquently. But thanks again to Chloe, our high school student liaison and a member of the Student Senate. Next, let's hear from some kindergartners in the greater Portland area.
What's your least favorite thing about school?
Math.
Why?
Because you have to put all the work into it. And it's just really hard, especially because when you get in older grades, like 3rd, 4th, and 5th, the swing, because one time I fell backwards off of it.
Math.
Why math?
Because it's hard.
Math.
Why?
It's boring.
What's your least favorite thing about school?
That I don't like going to it.
Get pushed.
Who pushes you?
Mostly everyone.
What's your least favorite thing about school?
It starts too late and it's too long.
My least favorite thing about school is math, because we have to do hard work.
My least favorite is probably CKLA, because we have to do lots of hard work and writing.
Because you could fall down.
I like actually a lot of stuff at this school. I like everything.
To sit and be quiet.
Math.
Why?
I don't know, it's boring.
Math.
Why?
Because it's boring.
I think that my least favorite thing about school would be my classroom, because it's all of the kids there are very loud and it's very chaotic. I always have a headache.
Oh, sure. Or somebody. Right now. So that was the kindergartners talking about their Portland school system. Next, let's hear some high schoolers, which is an interesting comparison in the perspectives. Let's hear it.
Do you think there are flaws in the American school system?
Yes, I do think a lot of things are wrong with the American school system.
I feel like they don't really teach us things that are needed, and the things I usually need in life, I always get taught outside of school.
They don't teach a lot about Native American history, like at least with my history journey. I didn't start learning about America's history until the Columbus part.
The freedom.
The freedom, what's wrong?
Because in this school, you don't really get much freedom to do everything.
Do you think there are any flaws in the American school system?
Yeah, I think there are many. One is that in history classes, they don't teach Black history thoroughly, and I feel like they should, because that's how students are very ignorant.
They teach them traumas and not the success.
Yeah, they teach them traumas, not the success. We only know Rosa Parks. We only know Martin Luther King. What about Malcolm X? What about Patrice Lumumba? What about all of those people?
Is, like, the lack of things to do in school. It seems like we just come here, we learn, and we go home. And I feel like that has a lot to do with, like, strict times on, like, getting from one class to another. And lunch. We only have, like, 20 minutes for lunch, which is insane, because it's like you're going to spend at least, like, if you get there with everyone else, you're going to spend half of that 20 minutes sitting there waiting in line for some pretty low-quality food.
It's just overall lazy. It's lazily built. The foundation is shaky. Not a lot of kids actually learn. And no one is getting anywhere with the information they give us.
Do you think there's a way to fix it?
Yes. Teach better stuff that we actually need in life. Like, we don't need a whole pie chart in your brain. You need taxes and deductions, stuff like that.
In classes, you're locked in there. You know, you can't really leave or take breaks. You know, you have to get, like, special permission from
the fact that we got to learn about science for so long, because it's like, you know, I feel like with history, math, and English, we can use all of those after high school, because we use math for, like, you know, determining, like, finances and, like, stocks and all that, and just, like, basic math. And then we use English to learn how to write essays for when we're in college, or just, like, writing our resumes and stuff. And then history, we learn about stuff in history to make sure we don't make the same mistakes that we did back in the day. But science is, like, up until, like, 7th grade, I feel like science should stop at 7th grade, because it's like most people don't want to be a chemist.
I feel like when it comes to certain subjects, they don't really give us the full detail on certain things, like slavery, for instance. Let me even go to that, because I feel like whenever they talk about it, they make the white people look good more than the Black people, and they don't really give you the full detail. Or, like, when you're talking about Black History Month, they don't, like, give you the good part of it. They just show the bad part of Black History Month, and that's it. And that's not what it's really about, to the point where people don't understand Black excellence.
We need more time to explore the school. We need more time to eat, and they just got to add, like, more stuff to this school so that it feels like a home and not something that kids dread.
After speaking with high schoolers about their issues with the school system, Madeline and I set out to find what our teachers thought. I spoke with two of my teachers in the greater Portland area to hear what they had to say. Who am I here with?
Joshua Hans.
And how long have you been a teacher?
I'm finishing my 11th year.
How many schools have you taught at?
3, including my teacher education.
Mm-hmm. And did all of the administrations at the schools that you've worked at function similarly, or did they have like really distinct differences?
I would say that at my first professional job, the differences between where I'm currently at are pretty stark. I feel like at that first one, there was one administrator who was purely disciplinarian, and there was another one who was more big picture school culture, where I feel like at this school, I see both main administrators taking both of those roles. So it feels more like a community aspect of splitting their responsibilities.
What makes you feel supported by your current administration?
I would say the support is both public facing and private in conversations. I think the support that I feel currently is a support where I have the confidence to try new things, even if they fail, and go to my administration with questions about how it failed or how it could go better. And I feel like there's no threat of like discipline for having failed trying something new. Instead, there's a promise in the fact that we were willing to try something new.
Do you find that the administration encourages you to do new things often, or do they kind of like you to stick to a certain curriculum?
I think the curriculum aspect of it is supposed to stay relatively constant, but the way that we deliver the curriculum, I don't know that I would say it's promoted to try new things. I think it's one of the unspoken things in teaching that hopefully we are continuing to try new things, but I don't necessarily think that always comes from the administration. I think the reason that I've been able to try new things at this job is because I have more time than I had at my last school, and that time allows me to be innovative and kind of creative with what I do.
Do you find that you also have support from your colleagues and that those are people you can go to with questions and when you fail at something or you do well?
Yeah, definitely. More so in this school than my last school. My last school, I did kind of feel at times that I was on an island. So I would try and fail and try to improve on my own. But here I definitely feel much more of a community where I can talk to colleagues teaching classes that I'm currently teaching, but also colleagues that are not even teaching the same content as me, just to kind of feel it out. So I do feel that there's a sense of community among all learning areas.
And how do you feel supported by your students? What can they do to make you feel like supported as a teacher?
I think the support from the students comes from the transparency of what I'm doing. So like when I am taking an academic risk or a teaching risk, something I think might fail, being transparent and the fact that I don't know if this is going to work. And then I think it kind of lifts the veil of me being the gatekeeper of knowledge and perfection. And it kind of shares the experience of this might not go so well, but that's also part of what we're doing here.
Do you find that there's kind of like an overarching issue across all the schools that you've taught at before in the current school system, or each school has had their own like individual issues?
I think each school kind of has their own issues. I haven't really had this major black cloud issue that has followed me from state to state in my teaching. I've now taught in 3 different states. I don't feel that there's one major issue that has kind of infiltrated all of those systems.
What do you think is an issue that our school faces right now?
I think our school faces the issue of perfection. And I think that if you're not perfect, then it's judgment against you. And when I say perfection, I mean academic achievement and probably more specifically numerical grade values. I think that is something that I would love to kind of break down and maybe even use a different grading system just to prove that there's not really a difference between a student who gets a 92 and a 93. Those students are essentially equivalent to me, but it's not viewed that way among students and the community, I think, in this current setup.
Do you think that that's something that's super specific to the school, or do you think in general that's kind of been a problem or issue that's like trending among like the nation?
In my experience, it is definitely more prevalent at this school because I think we do have the privilege and circumstance to care about making it to the next level quite a lot more than my previous school. But I can't say that it's specific to our current school. I think this general area probably has that same issue, but I don't necessarily think that that issue exists everywhere.
Is there anything that you want to highlight about the American school system or the school system we're in right now that you think like everyone should be aware of?
I think, especially in this school system, I started off intimidated by the aspect of students having so much voice, but I've found that the students having voice in decision-making, like what Senate does and policy changes, has actually created an environment that the students care a little bit more about. Mm-hmm. So I think if we could kind of break down the traditional aspect of the adults in the room know what's best all the time, and sometimes we do, but sometimes we don't, I think sharing responsibility in policymaking and in day-to-day interactions has made the culture of this school feel very different than other schools that I've been at. And I hope we continue in that direction. So I think that's a really, really positive thing about the environment that we have. I do believe that students here have some choices.
Thank you. Awesome. Who am I here with today?
My name's Mr. Ryu, or Neil Ryu.
And how long have you been a teacher?
This is my 20th year of teaching.
And how many schools have you taught at?
Five, technically. So I did a student teaching at one school, so I wouldn't really call it my school, but I was at a vocational school in downtown Phoenix, South Phoenix. I taught at a performing arts school in Phoenix, Arizona. Taught at Lisbon High School for a year, taught at Levitt High School for several years, and I've been teaching here the last couple of years.
How have you felt supported at your different schools by students, first off?
I think students, it's kind of like a give and take, right? So like if you give students respect and treat them like humans, then they treat you like a human back. I think sometimes the teacher-student relationship makes that difficult, but I think just trying to be like fair and understanding gets reciprocated. And so I found like on days where it's hard, like students know how to like support me back. And so I've always appreciated that. Honesty makes it easy.
How have you felt supported by, first off, the administration here at the school you're at now?
They're very like involved in all the aspects of the school. So they're asking for our opinions. We do a lot of like constructive talks about, you know, policies and grading and student relationships. And sometimes they're a soundboard when you're not sure how to handle a situation or as a new person here last year, like what does this look like at this school? And they've just been very consistently open door, supportive, available whenever I've needed them. So super appreciative of that.
How have administrations at the other schools you've worked at supported you?
Yeah, I think something I found over 20 years is like everybody's style is a little different. So there's like personality people, there's logistics people, there's character people. So it's looked kind of different everywhere I've been, but everybody finds a way to make those strengths complement sort of what's needed. So I think maybe the common elements is that just, again, like making sure that they're available, knowing how and when to reach out to them, and those sorts of things. How they deal with things, I think, is like so individual. Like it's hard to compare, but I think that's kind of the most common element, is like you have to feel like you can approach them. And thankfully, I've had that everywhere I've gone.
Across all the schools that you've taught at, do you feel like there is one common issue that a lot of schools are facing?
Every year since the pandemic, we're like, well, we're getting more back to normal. We're getting more back to normal. But I think the nature of education is in the middle of kind of one of the, what we call pendulum swings or evolution. And we're all just trying to figure out how to get back to a level of like accountability and timeliness that prepares students for college in the real world. And at the same time, be sensitive to the impact this has had on people's like mental and physical health over the years. So it's just been a little complex for the last few years to figure out how best to support a really wide diversity of needs. I think everybody is interested in being fair, but also understanding. I think the pandemic spotlighted like whole student considerations in ways that were maybe less visible before the pandemic. I think that forced everybody to slow down and really think about how and why we do everything we do. So,
definitely. Do you think that the pandemic has changed how teaching will be forever? It's just never going to be the same in some ways?
I think we're in the middle of figuring out the best parts to keep, right? So there were things like breaks and pacing and, you know, you had to really look at your units. Like in the hybrid year in particular, so many of us had to trim down what we did because we had less available time with students. And so we kind of looked at everything we've been teaching to decide what we want to keep the same and what to make different. So it might be a kind of a cop-out answer, but I think it's going to be kind of both. I think there will be some elements that will always be best practice in education, like preparation and things like that. But technology is impacting how students prepare. Mm-hmm. Social interaction, I think we're getting back to like explicitly teaching, because that was skewed so badly from the pandemic. And I think a lot of us are focusing on like taking paper notes maybe next year, because like screen time, I think figuring out how to wean us all off of screen time, as powerful as technology is, like when and how much of it is really appropriate for education is something we're all kind of like still figuring out. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, I think we'll settle somewhere in the middle. That's kind of what education usually does.
And how did student-teacher relationships change from the pandemic? Like, do you feel like you got to know your classes as well, or individual students' needs as well during the pandemic?
It's a delicate thing, because you don't want to pry into people's personal lives, but there were so many considerations that made the fairness of assignments, the feasibility of assignments, realistic or not. And so I think it forced all of us again to like really look deeply at things like equity and access, and you know, how much time does the student really have at home to be doing homework? Okay, if that's not consistent, how do we adjust what happens in the classroom? And so I think it's honestly a little bit overwhelming, like all of the considerations that I think we've been asked to make the last few years. And I think we're figuring out how much can we like involve ourselves emotionally and still be like healthy and balanced ourselves, and reciprocate that for our students too, to make sure that they're healthy and balanced and, you know, have the skills that they'll need to be successful in whatever they want to choose to pursue after high school.
What do you think is the biggest issue that our school is facing today, from either an academic perspective or a social perspective?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call it an issue more so than like a culture aspect, mm-hmm. which is learning versus grading. A teacher wiser than me that mentored me way back was planted a seed in my head about distinguishing between workers and learners. And I feel like sometimes students are really good workers, like they will do whatever you put in front of them, but that's not always like purposeful and productive. And then there's like learners who are genuinely interested in what they're learning and how they're learning and those sorts of things. And so figuring out how to put more of an emphasis on the learning versus the grades, in like a competitive school atmosphere where people care about and are applying to prestigious places, like those things do matter. How much they matter, I think, is something we're kind of recalibrating a little bit, because it can be unhealthy to focus on that too much. That's a very delicate line between having goals for yourself that get you where you want to go and imposing goals on yourself that might make that tip into the realm of like unhealthiness.
Do you think that that's an issue that's facing just our community, or is this a national thing?
I think it's a national thing. I think schools that do like standards reference grading, there's a different dialogue around those grades, because they're really focused on what the standards for learning are, what the targets for learning are. And not that traditional systems don't do that, but they do translate into a number that parents and students and teachers themselves can get hyper-focused on, instead of figuring out like the story behind the number. Mm-hmm. And I think that's much bigger than us. I would say, as much as we tend to think these are Yarmouth issues, I would say pretty much everything that we talk about here has an echo elsewhere in like the U.S. I don't know about globally. I can't speak because education models are so different, but mm-hmm. I would say in the U.S., if you read like Education Week or other education publications, it seems to be that we're all talking about the same or similar things. They might look different, but they're rooted in the same issues.
Is there anything you want to highlight about the school system that you think is important for students and everyone to know about?
I think a really important component of how we do things here is like a really strong department or learning area, mm-hmm. network. They're called different things at different schools. But I say a lot of support and like figuring things out and making sure that we're fair and doing what's in the best interest of students comes through like dialogue with co-teachers and teachers in our learning areas, where we can bounce ideas off of. And I think that prevents you from feeling like you're teaching on an island. And that's a really important component of successful schools, that you mm-hmm. create spaces for those conversations to happen.
And you, because it's not a...
All right, so there are a lot of complaints about school, but also a lot of benefits, so it's important to be thankful that we have something. There are people trying to make change, and every voice is important. Let's hear from Jessica Guru, a voice on the school board.
What's it like being on the school board to start?
It's great. it's a great way to engage in the community. And it's also frustrating because you sit sort of, I hate to use the word high up, but very high level influence that you have at the school board level. And you know, one of the challenges is, for example, it is a state law that if you serve on the school board, you cannot be an employee of the school. It's also discouraged that we even be regular volunteers on the school. And so, for example, I used to be a substitute teacher before I joined the school board. And then when I joined, I learned that I could no longer substitute teach. So I'm no longer involved in that level, which is frustrating. But on the other hand, you know, we've looked at things like the transgender policy and we've, you know, tried to make sure that our budget, our schools are getting what they need every year financially, but without things getting out of control because we understand our taxpayers are paying for it. Yeah. So it's really impactful in that way. So,
Why did you decide to run for this position?
So I come from a family of local politicians. Mm-hmm. My uncle was on the town selectman in New Hampshire, in the town that I grew up in. He was also served in the state house. My grandfather served in the state house. My other uncle served in the state house. So I was surrounded by politics my whole life. Mm-hmm. So when I moved into my first true house here up here in New England, we moved back up here and I moved in, I was like, you know what, I need to be involved. Yeah. And so I was talking to some folks and they were like, you know, school committee is, it's kind of a light load, they told me. It's just a couple meetings a month, they told me. And that was 2019. Needless to say, the next year was more than two meetings a month as we ran into the pandemic and all that happened with that. So, it's definitely worth it. It's definitely a good way to get engaged at a civic level.
Mm-hmm. What is one of the biggest issues that your school has faced other than like the pandemic, I guess, was a...
So I came in to the school committee. We were building, we were renovating all four of the schools in our district. So that was wrapping up as I joined. And then the pandemic happened. Mm-hmm. In between that, we also looked at adding an SRO to our school. And we sort of had an about face on that post the Black Lives Matter amongst our committee. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of a breather with the fact that the pandemic ended up cutting that position.
Sure.
So that was big. We have had a big discussions about our transgender policies have been hot topics for us lately. And of course, always the budget.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We also added pre-K in our district, which was a big discussion because that's a can be a hefty expense on a community. And we also have added world language in our district during my time. So now all of our kids starting right in, actually in pre-K now, get world language exposure.
Wow, that's important. I didn't know that.
Yeah, which is super exciting.
That's important.
That's really awesome. What's an issue that you faced recently on the school board and how did you handle it?
Oh, there, some of the probably the big issue this year was around the potential of some, well, I don't need, like, to use the word book banning, but there was that was one cry that there was some book banning being requested. Mm-hmm. But really, I would say it comes down to student choice. Was where the policy was actually trying to fit into. So how much can one parent control over what a student is learning, and how much can what a student needs affect the other students in the classroom was a really big topic that we dove into quite a bit this year.
That can fit into a lot of different categories.
Yes, it can. So, yes, it can.
How'd you handle that and work with that big issue?
We had a lot of conversations. And one of the interesting challenges is when you're on either the school board or the town council at that level, all of our conversations are supposed to happen in public.
Sure.
And so anytime there's three or more of us in a room talking, it's supposed to be during a public meeting.
Right.
But really, you can't do all of your work in an hour, you know, every other week.
Yeah.
So, you know, having conversations with committee community level and hearing what other people are feeling and just trying to dive into all sides of it, and then have those very important conversations within our committee and make sure that we're landing in the middle. In this case, we also had to bring in some lawyers to get their insight. Yeah. And, you know, it's really bringing in as many resources as we can to hear to hear the pieces. And you don't necessarily always come out on the same side of where you thought you were coming into.
Yeah.
And that I love that about our school board is, you know, that has happened probably every year that somebody has sort of had a change as they've learned what's going on. And that is the key to making our system work.
Yeah, so how did you reach a solution when that school board, when there was an issue?
Again, really, it's having those conversations. And I won't say that everybody walked away from that any of those topics, but that particular hot topic, and not everybody walked away happy.
That's inevitable.
Yeah, and I think some people were disappointed with where we ended up, and some people were very happy about where we ended up. And, you know, I feel we got some things right, and we didn't necessarily get everything right, but we learned a lot, and we made some progress into how our school will behave with that.
Yeah, so. Definitely.
How do you make sure that student voices are heard on the school board?
Excellent. So we have two representatives on our board that are from the student body, and I believe you may have heard from one of them earlier.
Yes, we just talked to one of
them. And that is crucial. We love that when those two are there, and we just hearing the student voice is so important.
Yeah.
We also try to invite students to our meetings for whatever those pieces are. We had the robotics team in, for example, and they showed us the robot that they took to the state championship, and we got to meet the hockey team. And so that really helps, you know, sort of connect us to where the students are at. It also started this year at our school board. We added a new committee. A new regular standing committee. So normally a board would have a financial committee and a policy committee, and we added what we call our mission committee. And the mission committee has an advisory council that is assigned to it. And that advisory council includes people from the community, but it also includes a student representative. So we have yet another way of bringing in a different student perspective into what we're hearing.
How are they chosen? How's the student representative chosen? Is it by the school board or by the student body?
In that particular case, I believe the student was nominated, and ultimately by policy, it is just they're appointed by our chair, but that comes with recommendations usually from the administration and the teachers.
What do they do to make sure teachers' voices are heard? Because obviously they're another huge part of the system.
Yes. So our teachers are fabulous, and at our school, we are lucky to have a pretty strong relationship with our teachers. So for example, the Teachers Association every year holds a banquet at the end of the year to honor the retirees from that year. And they always invite the school board. And our school board actually goes, and we have a lovely time.
Yeah.
And as we always remark, there are other districts, even in this state, even close to us, where that relationship is not there. So having that, like, being able to, you know, have a friendly conversation, even if we don't necessarily see eye to eye on a contract or a negotiation. One of the nice things that our district does that's different than other districts is that our teachers negotiate with us directly. They don't bring in a third party negotiating team. And that's a testament, I think, to the board that we also can create that space that they can have
definitely.
That. So we do actually talk with them directly, which is fabulous.
That is amazing. That's wonderful.
Do you think that students are equally represented, and what is the board doing to prevent discrimination in schools?
Oh, marvelous question. No, I don't think students, I don't think there's equality anywhere. And I always like to say, you know, I dream of the day of equality, but I also recognize we will never achieve that, because for every step that we take forward, we recognize there's somebody else that we're stepping on to get there. And so with that in mind, that is part of why we started the mission committee in our district. And I am the chair of the mission committee for that reason, to make sure that we're hearing not just from our administration team, but also from the community and from our students as to, you know, who are we missing? Are we looking at our curriculum with as many eyes as we can see? And how can we create those better opportunities, not just to fix things, but also to identify and find things?
Yeah. Since you seem like you're very active in this, is it difficult to balance your time with all your other responsibilities?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a time commitment for sure. It's worth it. Definitely. And there are, months that go by and suddenly a meeting is on top of me and I'm like, oh, I really wanted to talk with 8 other people before I got to this meeting or, I'm not as prepared for this as I would like to be. Or I'm scrambling on the day of to get that background information. And I think that is another inherent challenge with our leaders in these roles. You know, it's basically volunteer. We do have a small stipend. But is to be able to put that time in before you're there making decisions that impact the lives of hundreds of kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's difficult that the kids representing at the school board can't vote? Like, what do you feel about that?
Unfortunately, that's legal because you have to be 18.
Right.
So I don't know if our senior is 18, if we could budge that law.
Yeah.
But I think for the most part, we listen to them. And I would encourage students to reach out. There's no reason why a student can't, drop me an email or call me at any time if they want to have a conversation about something. I'm happy to have that conversation. And I do feel that the student voice in our board at least is very important and should be everywhere. And, we are the old farts and you are the new generation that's coming up. And as the teacher just said, your voices are really truly what matters. Mm-hmm. Even though we come with a little different experience and a little different perspective, that doesn't mean we're right. So,
And this is, I'm just curious, do you know if the student liaison position and like having students on school boards is across the whole nation or is this like something specific to Maine or our community?
That is a really good question. It's going to be specific to the community. Mm-hmm. It's in our charter. Mm-hmm. It's by our design. If anyone's listening out there and you don't know if your local school board has a student representation, ask.
Yeah.
And I would say push for it because I think it matters. I really do think it matters.
Yeah. It's really important to have student voices on the school board. How does the school board engage with the schools themselves that they're dealing with? Do you ever, talk with students, like go to the school events and stuff? Or is it kind of like come to the school board meetings and
How accessible is it?
Great question. This is actually something I was just thinking about this week graduation. So I'm glad you say that. I try to show up to anything that I know about and get invited to and, again, have time for. Obviously, I have a life. And, I wasn't able to go to graduation this year because my cousin graduated on the same day. And I would love to be invited to more things. I would love to remind the administration, and it's actually on my to-do list this year, is to send the email to the administration and be like, hey, don't forget to include us because we do want to be there. Send us those invitations because it is important. Of course, we want to see the positive results. I want to hear the kindergartners speaking in Spanish after all the work that we've done to get world language into our school. So, yes, we're there. Most of us are parents, but not all of us.
What advice would you give to the young people looking to get involved in their community?
It's the hardest thing about politics in general, I think, is it moves slower than you think it does. So if I could give any advice, it is just simply to have patience and persistence. It's that grit. I know we talk about that now in school a lot, having that grit. Because you come to a meeting and you give your opinion and the change doesn't happen the way you want it to happen, it doesn't mean that you didn't make an impact. And it just takes a long time because everything takes longer than you think it does to get something to pass through. Even just to make a policy, it has to go to the policy committee twice. It has to come to the school committee twice. So that's at least 2 months for a policy to be passed, to mention how long it might have taken to even negotiate to get to that point. So, we can work on something for 6 months. We can work on it for years. But that doesn't mean we don't want to hear what you have to say. So
I think, at least getting heard is important.
Getting heard is important, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us. We had such a great time. And thank you for tuning in to Blunt Youth Radio and our show about the American school system. We discussed the faults and successes of school, heard from a wide, wide array of guests. Thank you to everyone we interviewed, including our live interviews with Chloe Cady and Jessica Guru. Thank you to our engineer, John Aldrich, and thank you to our hosts, Beulah Landis, Madeline Roy, and myself, Eva Newman. Tune into Blunt next week from 6 to 7 p.m. to hear about our next show, which is about thrifting and the fashion scene in Portland. That was Blunt. School is dismissed. This program is brought to you by Rose Foods. Rose Foods offers freshly baked bagels, bagel sandwiches, and classic Jewish deli fare. Rose Foods is located at 428 Forest Avenue in Portland. More information online at rosefoods.me.
Better all the time. Better, better, better. used to be cruel to my woman. I beat her and kept her apart from the things that she loved.
Stay out of it.
and everything you see. Stay out of it, and everything you hear. Stay out of it. They'll never know it's me, but everything you see.